moments. Good to be in this house tonight. Amen. And good to have been here before. Amen. And it's good to see each and every one of you here. Listen to the Word of God and have fun. Amen. I've had a little bit of a strange thought in my mind this week. It's not anything to do with the study, but have you ever seen that red heart that says, I love my church? And it's not a big issue one way or the other, but this week I got to thinking that, is it really proper to say, I love my church? Because really, his church, the church is there for us, but the central focus of the church ought to be that I love my God. Amen. And I want to worship him and praise him. And when we love him, no matter where we are, there is a joy. And there has to be a time within our lives in the church because of the competition and maybe just something for us to think about that is in the world that is kind of stuck in a mode to where it's not about knowing God more, you know. And I'm sure that there are those people that do. I don't want to say that or make that insinuation. But I believe there's much of a church today that just kind of exist, and when there's something that gets a little bit more exciting, a little bit more, you know, enthusiasm, whether it's with young people, and we can expect that of young people, and it would be imperative that we would do something that would cater to those times in life to where kids are kids, and teens are teens, and adults are adults, and seniors are seniors, and that we can all have a good time together, praise the Lord. And when we talk about the numbers in the thousands that were saved in the first few book of Acts, I do believe that there was a great joy and a great power that is amongst that whole spectrum of, you know, very young to very old, man. And so I just was thinking this week that when I come here, the first and foremost thing in our life is that we have to love God with all of our heart, our soul, and mind, and strength. And with that, it helps us maybe move beyond, you know, any worries or woes that we would have within our individual lives. But it is also imperative that when we come to church, that we might say, well, you know, that was fun. And some would say that was a blessing. That was the power of God. That has been exempted. That last part has been exempted from the church world today for a long time. They don't understand, you know, coming to the house of God and really putting yourself into the place to where you break through to worship, you get in the presence of God. God does the blessing, we do the receiving. Amen. He is the only one that really has the power to bless us. And so somehow we have to make up our minds, amen, when we come to the house of the Lord, that we're going to let God minister to us. We all need ministering too. And so, and who knows, if we emphasize that, maybe more people would be more interested in knowing God and loving God than loving just my church, because there's a lot of churches today that are awful, you know, empty, and you know, there are some that are very packed. But on the same token, there has to be a conviction that, you know, I want to have something that blesses me. That's not being selfish, you know. It's not anything selfish to say, Lord, I've come to just talk to you, to love you, to sing about you, you know, and enjoy your presence while I'm here. And anything that is outside of that, we can work on those things too, because there's just a lot of work that needs to be done. And we have a God that can do it. Everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. Stand with me just for a few moments as we look to the word of the Lord. And first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, and so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into that Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Dropping to 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, through 7. And it says, "That which was from the beginning we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon him, our hands have handled the word of life. For life was manifested, and we have seen it, you know, there's something there in their testimony to know that something happens to us when we go into the presence of the Lord and we let God, and the Lord has already ascended here, and what they're feeling is the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of the Lord or the presence of God that is there. And so they said, we have actually handled the word of life. It's great to know, amen, who you're serving. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and showed unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that you your joy may be full. And then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. For we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, and have fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's give the Lord a good hand offering, and you may be seated. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we love you, God, and give you thanks in Jesus' name. I think in Pentecostal churches, and if we can be a little critical of ourselves without going too far, sometimes we fall into the absence of, again, what I've been talking about, to where we want to just enjoy, amen, the presence of the Lord, and to do that. And then there's times that we come to the house of the Lord, and nothing is there that is really, it's there to revive us, it's there to help us, it's here, there to feel things and go through things, to handle things, maybe not in the way that the apostles did and then those men that served us before, but there is something in God that is enjoyable, and it is a blessing, and it's a help, and it reaches into every aspect of our life so that we can know that there are things that we can do in God that we cannot do in ourselves, and expect God to really be what God has invited himself to be in our lives, is that one true God. Amen. He wants to lead us into a path to where we know that we have that. God desires for us to have fellowship with him and in turn with each other. As God blesses us, and if he doesn't bless, it's always good to go back and punch Mike or, you know, something like that. But, you know, he wants to come along and just really, you know, come to us and deal with us on a personal level, even in a service. I've come to enjoy just walking around in fellowship and shaking hands. Now, some people don't like that, but to me, that's the time to where we can have just a little bit of fellowship and greet one another, be nice to each other. Amen. If they don't have any money on themselves, give them a couple hundred bucks, and they can put that in the offering plate and help us out a little bit. And but this is a part of us. God desires for us to have fellowship with him and in with each other, or in turn with each other. Our humanness leads us to separation. When we are offended by the hurt of a brother or a sister, amen, we tend to pull apart and try to do things by ourselves. There's times that offenses will come to the church. That's almost promised in the Word of God. Brother Davis always quotes it that, you know, the Lord teaches us not to be offended, and then turns right around and teaches us not to offend. Praise the Lord. And it's in that offense, those times, to where something can happen that really wants to pull us away. Amen. And the danger of it is, it doesn't just pull us away from a person. It pulls us away from a body, and it pulls us away from the presence of a God that is able to really meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Everybody said amen. Amen. And so we don't want to ever find ourselves in a place. And I know people, and I have experienced this within ministry, and yes, in Sandwich, to where when somebody gets a little offended or something goes wrong, they just want to withdraw. Absolutely the worst thing that we can do. Hallelujah. And hopefully that nothing, you know, interacts there and even causes it to be a bigger problem. And so we need to deal with those things, and that should be taken up in our deal with our fellowship. Jesus revealed that there is a spiritual dynamic created that when we gather together in fellowship one with another, with the Lord Jesus Christ at the very center, that's when we know that things scripturally are going to happen. All it takes is two or three. And he promises that I can be in the midst of you. Praise the Lord. And so we want to come to the place to where we know. And that when we come here, the whole motivation for us to be here. Now, I guarantee you, it's not been this every service. Even Brother Davis comes in here carnally sometimes. Well, maybe not. Only time is a problem because I look at my sports page on my phone and the Cardinals are losing, then it really gets tough. But the New Testament paints to us a picture of what the church means to us. And as we talk about what God means to us, we need to consider also that we mean something to God. You know, if there is no God, I mean, if there is no people that are there to be receiving God, God is there. And so we're allowed the greatest energy that is in all the world. Amen. It created the heavens and the earth and everything that is in them. We have that great energy just balled up to where it cannot do what it wants to do. Amen. And so if we can't do that, and like I said, meet the goal of what we have defined, is that I want to be a part of something. But most of all, I love God. And that has got to be the thing that I build my life upon and that I've got to take care of first. And to know that he is the one that can help if a time a problem comes up. And we'll find out that he will be the one that will help if we are seeing somebody or knowing somebody that is in sickness or in just an attitude problem, needing a checkup from the neck up, you know, and just kind of try to get things straightened out. And when God, we begin to provide that, we know that that is not us doing it, but it is God working through us. Praise the Lord. Some of these are terms that I will use a little bit later on. New Testament church and the New Testament word pictures to us or brings a picture to us and variations about the church and what it is. And John tells us in John 10:16 that the church is a flock. Amen. Now you can picture that for a while. And then it goes on in 1 Corinthians 3:16 says that God is it's God's building. Amen. And yet he knows that, you know, God does not have to have a building to worship in, but there's something that sees, and I believe it shows up more in the people than it does in the physical part of the church. Amen. And it's there to bless. Ephesians 2:15 says it's a new man. That's what happens when we come to the house of God. And sometimes we come to the house of God as a new man that has a lot of trouble. Brother Davis was amazed. I probably told this story, and I'm sure 100 times when I was here, but I was kind of out there, you know, in the world and doing everything that I knew I shouldn't do. And God just began to work with me and deal with me, and then all of a sudden I come into the house of the Lord, and I mean, I was rebellious to my parents. I was rebellious to young people. I was in the place to where I felt like I was in desperate need of God. I knew I was. I didn't want to admit that. And so my life was becoming more miserable. And then finally, when I break down and come to the church, amen, in a revival that was a great one in Heron, I found out that, you know, the Lord was able to, I mean, it was an experience to repent of your sins. And it ought to be. The angels of heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. Now, I don't know anything on earth that can even measure up to that little truth there. Amen, that about repentance, and that God and the angels of heaven rejoice over one person that repents. Amen. We sometimes would like to see 15 or 16, but one evidently carries a good impact with itself. Everybody said amen? Amen. It's a habitation of God. It's where God wants to dwell. Doesn't mean that when he's here, of course, we know that he is omnipresent, but that includes in the habitation that God has. Amen. Just because God is everywhere, all people is not everywhere. And so there's places to where he comes and he meets with us now. I'm glad I'm on this side, amen, of the man Christ Jesus, to the point to where we know that by his Spirit That's why he was bringing the Spirit into the world, is so that now the Spirit and God's habitation can take up the whole world. Amen. You can get one person having the Holy Ghost in the South Pole. Not very many people live there, nor the North Pole. But if they are there, God wants them and wants to bless them, and God will dwell with them and create a new building and make them a new man. I was amazed at how after the first few weeks, that as I was kind of figuring all this out, and it wasn't totally blind to it, being raised in the church all my life, but as I was trying to reason it out, I just asked God. I said, you know, how did it happen? You know, what did you do? I was just reaffirmed by God that that's just what I do. You know, I know more about you than you know about yourself. Keep that one in mind. That he can figure you out far faster and far better than what you will ever do on your own. And so when we come into the house of the Lord, we understand that we're coming in the presence of the Lord to where we want to help be creative. Not just to write something on a card or make a sign somewhere, and I'm not against that, but to know that this is where we ought to be, and this is where we want to be. And so they find in the habitation of God, Ephesians 2 and 22, we are God's husbandry. And we think of that, always associated, that was kind of a caregiver that takes care of a lot of, you know, things, and treats his people and waits upon them and serves them. Amen. And so when we look at God and his work for us, we understand that God has done something. I think Brother Tom, you know, a lot of time touches on this, that God wants to do something in every service. Amen. And sometimes we miss out on that. It is called the house of God, 1 Timothy 3:13. It is called the pillar and the ground of truth in 1 Timothy 3:15. Amen. It is called the bride of Christ, Ephesians 5, amen, verse 25 through 27. And it is also called the body of Christ. And those are just pictures that are painted throughout the New Testament, amen, that show us that church is not just church. Amen. And God is not just a God that is powerless, but God is the one that knows exactly what you need. And in other words, God understands what this church needs more, amen, than they could ever figure out on their own. And it's a good church. Now, I know you have problems sometimes, and most of us do. It comes into our life that way. But when we begin to feel that and sense that and come into the house of God and begin to picture some things that God could really do in our lives, we need to pursue that to the point to where we know that God has reparations and he has repairs to be done. And every life and probably every brick in this building, amen, needs something done to it. Hallelujah. But he knows that better than we do. Amen. And so he shows us these images because that is a part, and that is not even a thimble full of truth, amen, as we discuss the presence of God and the house of God in the Word of God. And that's what church is all about. I hate to disappoint you, but church isn't about eating apples and having candy and getting a donut or, you know, just some kind of a thing there to entertain you. Church is about being serious about God, because there's usually somebody in our church, especially on Sunday, that has serious needs. Amen. This last week we did. And I'm not saying we're sitting there checking off everybody, but you know there are some people that you think about some of the trauma that they've gone through, and the two ladies that were here last, Sister Janice and Patty, you know, these are two women that have lost their husbands, and not all that long ago. And so there's got to still be a hurt. I mean, you see people, and I see people, and know people that are still hurt. Amen. And not healed from that. And is there ever a complete healing? I believe there is. Doesn't mean you don't miss it. It doesn't mean you don't love them. It doesn't mean that you can't talk to them. I mean, they're probably going to talk to you back. Amen. But you can go out and, you know, I think there's some things to be found and just, hey, Dad, how's it going today? You know, and you make out that day for him. Somebody might think you're crazy if they're tending their tombstone a few places down, but God wants to be that blessing in our lives. The human body is an amazing creation. Its five senses gives us the ability to hear, to smell, to taste, amen, and to touch. Amen. To see, to hear, to smell, to taste, and touch. I just left out a comma. Amen. The 24th period in the human heart beats, amen, 103,689 times. The blood travels at 168 billion miles, or trillion miles, excuse me, billion miles. Amen. Those zeros always mess me up, and I have it right here. Amen. Our lungs breathe at least 23,040 times, and 750 muscles are in our body that moves. Amen. Now, they didn't used to, you know, kind of crackle and crunch, you know, like they do now. But those are things that we understand about this body and how amazing. Our bodies, every one of our bodies is so much greater than this whole building that we come to. Amen. And there's more blessings than all the things in this world, amen, that exist within ourselves. But it's important for us to find that in ourselves and in God. And I'm not the one to ask on that. You might be led to ask me sometime, and I would do all that I can. But if you're pursuing after God, you need to think, God, what is it in my life that's going to make me, most of all, a happy Christian? Most of the world likes happy people. They might not want to pay the price, amen, that you've paid for your happiness, but they enjoy to see you. I mean, it's amazing. I don't know that I have the best sense of humor in the world, but I do kind of like to have fun. And I have a lot of people come up to me and just, you know, say something about being nice and funny. A lot of women there, a lot of men there, you know, and they say nice things. But when it comes down to it in ourselves, we have to understand that there is something. We're bigger than our job when we let God work through us. Amen. We can have a better personality. Amen. If we let God work through us. If we let the Spirit of the Lord just motivate us and guide us, because it is the driving engine, so to speak, amen, of our lives in God. And we know that He is a Spirit. Amen. And that Spirit can go with us anywhere we want to take it with us. Amen. And it's going to be there. It's just simply there for the reaching out. Now, most of the world doesn't understand that. To love their church means we had a nice party. That God is blessing them, and I'm sure that not everybody, even in some churches, feel that way. But there are some, and probably the majority of them do. You know, I just want to get dunked. I just want to, and then I can settle down a little bit, lose this little bit of conviction that is around. But just get dunked, because if you open up the Holy Ghost to them, it's even going to probably scare them more. But a good scare never hurt anybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to Corinthians chapter 12. Familiar scripture, I know. And I'm not going to say anything I'm sure you have not heard. But nobody stands alone in the church. You might feel that way. It might seem to be that way. But nobody has to be alone and stand alone and do it all themselves when they come to the house of God. Paul writes in Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have been made to drink into one drink, and that is a Spirit." Powerful scripture there. I might make a little reference to it later, but just think about it. It says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body." That is the body of Christ. When you consider that amongst your friends that are not Christians, you need to realize that that's not why they're getting baptized for. Amen. And it says, "For by one Spirit," it's not talking about just water baptism. It is actually talking about Spirit baptism. I think there's men that have been of every denomination. I was kind of taken back a few months ago when I was reading some of our early history of the settlement of America by those, and Charles Finney was a great evangelist at that time, and Charles Finney felt very emphatically. Matter of fact, I was surprised at how much was written about him and sending people into a village and get them prayed up and ready to go, and then he would begin to talk to them, amen, and God would fill them with the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues, which he called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Church, you got to have that knowledge in your mind to know that it is, especially in that scripture, that it is God's presence that is going to overwhelm you. And it's important that we let God overwhelm us. I think it's important for us to get the Holy Ghost for a couple of reasons, and probably hundreds of reasons. But one is, I need it. And the other is, the whole world needs it. And the whole world doesn't understand it. It's got to have somebody that is there to speak to them. And I'm not saying you have to go out and see them. Have you ever been asked a question outside of church? Brother Bill, do you believe in speaking in tongues? And yeah, okay, can you show me that right now? You almost spoil my party if you don't answer that. But, I mean, there's people that really want to hear that. And you have to tell them it doesn't work that way. You know, if God prompts me, because there are some people that can just turn it on any time, any minute. And I'm not saying they don't have a gift of tongues or whatever, but there is a place to where that, I know one thing, it has to happen by the emphasis of the Spirit of God. It can't be upon your fleshly nature just to start singing a song in tongues. The Spirit is about everything. And it's part of that one Spirit. It's by that one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. When Brother Walt, his name now, he came to our Fifth Sunday Sings, and I used to drive a bus with him. But anyway, he was a Baptist pastor. And we would discuss this every now and then. You know, what does it mean? There's Dean Waters, is that? I said, well, but I would show him the Scripture. It was just one scripture. I mean, he's a pastor. He knows a lot of scripture. But I showed him one scripture. And after about four or five times, he says, you know, I wish you just quit using that. But the good thing of it is, we know that I think Dean received the Holy Ghost, and even in the Baptist church. And he had a church that was starting around here, a man of people that didn't have the Holy Ghost but wanted the Holy Ghost. And not just wanted the Holy Ghost as some spirit thing, but wanted to know that by that Spirit coming into them, that it is actually baptizing them, overwhelming them, enabling them, amen, to walk with God. Verse 4, it says, the body is not one member, but many. And the foot, and if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. It is therefore not of the body. And if the ear say, because I am not the eye, and I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, or were the hearing, and the whole were hearing and were smelling, but how hath God set all these members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him? And if they were one member and were one body, but now they are many, many members, and yet you're one. Amen. We're one body. Amen. We got two thumbs. We got four other fingers on each hand. Amen. And that's all just part of the body. 700 and sometimes I made mention of, these are just the muscle movements and the bones and the things that function that we take for granted. But sometimes things that are simple to understand causes people to feel a little inferior. I think this is a part of an inferiority complex when we read the first thing that he deals with. The body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And he looks at this question, and somebody is asking, well, because I'm not, you know, it's a terrible spirit to have And the place is supposed to be the happiest place on earth. And not just happy, happy, giddy happy, amen, but full of joy and full of the presence of God, amen. And that doesn't come without us wanting to seek for it and earnestly seek for it, because we know that God will bless. Then you get down a few verses now, like in verse 21, we find people in maybe the body that was feeling a little superior. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be feeble are necessary. Amen. And those members of the body which you think to be less honorable, amen, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. For our uncomely parts, which have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. Amen. But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that therefore should see no schism in the body. God is always concerned about what is going to divide the body. And Satan is looking for every way that he possibly can. And he looks into this time, and I don't think Satan knows. You know, and he thinks, oh, the person looks depressed. That person's not happy. That person's full of the Holy Ghost. I got to get away from there. You know, but there are things in the house of the Lord that we just know. You know, if you're seeking this thing, amen, without knowing what makes it work in a powerful way, I tell a lot of friends of mine, I've told kids of mine, you've just prostituted the whole Pentecostal experience by wanting to have something that's fun. And nothing wrong with fun. But when you all of a sudden begin to want to be more like the world than you want to be like God, I tell you what, you're on a slippery slope down. The worst that it can be. And when those people come into us, we have to recognize that, amen, and do our very best to break down the barriers, try to get beyond those things that will keep us from getting into, I don't want to know what everybody is. Maybe there would be a spirit of ministry, and we've seen this happen in the church a number of times before. Saved in a church that probably run 130, 150 people. Out of that came six ministers. One of them was Brother Howe, that is now the president of Foreign Missions Director. Is that what we called that? Or Global Missions Director, whatever. I'm glad I'm old enough to know that there was more than one. But we need each other to accomplish that. Amen. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we're Jews or Gentiles, whether we're bond or free, we have been made to drink into one Spirit. And folks, that Spirit of God, I think, is the very height, amen, that we get in God, but doesn't mean we cannot get back there. And sometimes we struggle to get the Holy Ghost, and we've seen that also. And I think God knows what it means, because if somehow the Lord can lead us into the miracle of having our sins, somebody else that is, going through afflictions in life, amen, or a marriage that could be restored, or children, amen, that could come back home. And somehow feel that within the motivation of the body. You will not find that if you go to the church, amen, just because you love your church and you love your friends. Before you walk into that church, it's probably good to take an inventory of how much do I love God. Because God says, amen, that he, in loving him, is the first commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. And then the body part, the manly part, the human part, comes in behind that. And that is a great commandment also, that we honor them and bestow those things upon him. John tells us that, except them, I hope you've heard this before, Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can it be that a man be born of old and enter into the second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit. Sometimes it does you well just to kind of run a little concordance check and see how many times water, spirit, fire, blood, amen, fall in line together. But if we negate those things by not using our faith, believing in that, we need one another. Amen. We need one another. And that is what God is telling us, that I want to allow you to be born again. I want to show you the process of being born again. Amen. Acts 2:38 brings it out. We repent. We be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. I wonder if any of us have ever kind of see them have the Holy Ghost at a young age than mimic dad because he smokes a cigarette or drinks a beer or he sees many other things, amen, whether in the store or wherever we go in life that 8-year-olds are exposed to. And it would be great to be exposed, even our children, amen, to the presence of God and the power of God. Now, that becomes a little more of a fragile statement because we deal with that, but if it happens, amen, they're probably not going to start washing the dishes every night. Now, they may, you know, but I don't know that I've ever seen that happen. But on the same token, they've had a God encounter. And they need somebody like we need somebody. They needed one another. Amen. And sometimes our children, we need to look out for children, amen, that are not brought here by their family. Sister Rose is doing a great job, amen, of bringing kids in, and I try to do my best. I'm not saying that I get every one every week, but I usually get 3 or 4 or 5 of them just about every week because they're young kids that need to know about God, and that's what this house is all about. Amen. We come to share burdens. Brethren, be not overtaken in a fault, which you which are spiritual restore such a one. Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 3, again, a pretty a familiar scripture. It says, restore such a one to the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted. We want to take care of others because somewhere down the line, it might be us. Bear ye one another's burdens, and be full of the law of Christ. For if any man thinketh himself to be something which he is nothing, he deceives himself. Basically saying, there's nobody here more important than the next one. There's no man that's not in the body because he's not the eye. He brought that out. There are going to be some inferior spirits that come around and say, I can't believe you. I think we've had Sister Atkins always have a story on it. I think qualifying for us to take time to spend our best on her, as well as any elder. Amen. And as we look on Dean, Dino loves church. I don't know what he understands about going on, but he does know every pair of shoes in the congregation. Hallelujah. But we do that. How is it that we help the need of one to another? We share their burdens. We share their love, or share love to them. Our love with them. The first, the love of God to us. Amen. For God so loved the world. Probably the most used scripture in the world for salvation, which I don't see where it has any great need to do that, but I know one thing. It can convey the message to us. Amen. That, oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves you and me. Amen. And we talk about the love of God and sing about the love of God. Amen. And this is where the church was dealing with these things now. And so we want God to love us. The second aspect of God's power is through Romans. It says, hope not, and hope maketh not ashamed. Romans 5 and 5, excuse me, so trying to speed up a little bit, missing gears. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen. And so we know that God is able to love them and probably is going to use us as being the ones that touch him or touch her or touch the child. Amen. That's part of us. We need to be concerned about those things happening in our lives individually, in our church collectively. Amen. We can have experiences. Try to make this. I think we're getting pretty close to the end. It says, sharing our forgiveness. I think one of the biggest problems we have is we let offenses go too long. If they're not solved, if they're not reached, if that gap is not bridged, amen, we need to share them. Things that have happened to us. Ephesians tells us in 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. We can forgive them. Oh, I think it was right after 5 or 6 that talks to us that if you cannot forgive, and you're not going to get anywhere if God can't forgive you. You're going to have to deal with that one before that last day. Amen. But yet there are those, amen, that are looking for that and searching for that. Amen. And so we share our forgiveness. So we teach them how to repent. Colossians says in 3:13, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, you do also. It still comes back to the word. Brother Davis, why would you want to use that? Because, you know, if I'm saying it, you know that I'm saying it. But when it comes from this word, amen, we know that it's authentic. And these doctrines actually cross the bridge of just being established by 2 or 3 witnesses. These are threads that are woven throughout the scripture, Old and New Testament, about the need of getting right with God. Amen. 3:14, it says of Colossians, and above all things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. That's when you find perfection. Amen. When you put on this bond, amen, or this charity. The church is a body. And so we're asked to bear one another's burdens. Amen. Is also fulfill the law of Christ. That goes back to Galatians 2. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the main power. He is the main attraction. Amen. We worship him in beauty and don't see him, amen, as far as a beautiful person, but we sense a powerful, amen, beautiful spirit that is in the house of God that brings us to tears, amen, as often as it brings us to happiness, amen. And we find that those tears, amen, have a great value in our lives because it breaks us. Amen. It brings us down to where we need to be and how that we ought to live. Amen. Christ is the head of the church. Colossians says, and he is before all things and by all things consists. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn of the dead. Amen. And all things that we might have preeminence. Amen. The Lord comes and he's the one that's the boss. Amen. Brother Wells, I tell you this, I just... Because we can get so worldly, we just don't care. We're not concerned about making a journey, knocking on a door. It might be 6 months later that God talks to you that, hey, use a little restoration here. Amen. And so we go out and we just try to find every person. If a backslider, if they're atheist, whatever it might be, we need to find a way in front of them. Amen. You don't have to just tell them wherever Scripture is, but you can tell them about the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the purpose of God, the beauty of God. The church is undefiled. That's what it should be. Amen. I understand that probably in every one of us there's been some time of defilement that you've gone through. The church has to be functional. Amen. And it needs to be growing. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Amen. Let's just lift our hands, loving. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and for your mercies. We thank you for us just allowing us to be here, Lord, in your presence, to know your name, God, to know that we've been washed in your blood, to know that we've been filled with your Spirit, hallelujah, to know that your presence is powerful, God, that your name carries great authority, amen. God, we're believing that there will still be a revival, hallelujah, wherever Brother Wells goes and whoever would come here and in the city that we live in, Lord, amen, I pray that you send us, hallelujah, a revival, God, that would stir hearts, trouble minds, hallelujah, to where they bow themselves before you, Lord, amen, and submit themselves in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for most of us who've enabled us to receive the power of the Holy Ghost, and as I said before, Lord, so that we might know that there are many things that we can do if we just allow ourselves to slip into your presence, walk in your Spirit, hallelujah, be overwhelmed by your power in the name of Jesus. Say it with me, would you? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God, look upon every flaw. Hallelujah. We invite your conviction. We invite, God, your presence. Amen. We invite, Lord, you knowing that you want to woo us back to you. Amen. With the fullness of the power that we got on the time that you filled us with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Help us to love our neighbors. Amen. The people of this world, whether we know their name or not, they still need somebody to love them, Lord. And let us be that people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you are dismissed.